You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Many people think of Judgment Day as a negative and unpleasant experience. Jesus said that you can look forward to the day of judgment.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
O blessed Redeemer, for centuries, Christians have longed and looked forward to your return in glory. By your Spirit, prepare our hearts and lives so that we may not be found preoccupied with other worries and concerns. Through this radio mission, touch the lives of all who listen. Encourage those already in the faith. Strengthen the doubters, bind up the brokenhearted, and comfort all who mourn. Instead of being overcome by worries and frustrations, O Lord, empower us to look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. In your intercessory name we pray, O Savior. Amen. During his visit to the United States, a controversial journalist from South Africa was a guest on a television talk show. When asked whether he feared going back to his home country to face possible arrest, trial, and prison, he answered no. He said he was afraid of no man. The only thing he feared, he said, was God on the final day of judgment. It is indeed interesting that most people, whether they practice a religion or not, sense deep in their hearts that there will be a day of judgment. This day is frequently understood as one where there will be grief and remorse, a time when Jesus will sternly separate the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the chaff. In a 15th century painting called The Last Judgment, the Dutch artist Jan van Eyck depicted Jesus enthroned in the air, surrounded by those saved from the fiery pits of hell, a sober-faced collection of saints. Below the surface of the earth, he painted a mass of grotesque bodies, struggling in vain to break through the earth's surface and to escape from their everlasting suffering and anguish. Presiding over these hopeless souls is an eerie skeleton, and to make their condition even worse, they are being continuously hassled by fiendish-looking creatures and bloodthirsty vampires. Off to the side of the painting, the artist included several lions, devouring the even less fortunate. The scene of hell is so grotesque, ugly, and despicable that it could cause second thoughts for even the most hardened atheists. Take just a moment and think about your conception of what Judgment Day will be like. You and I certainly do not know what will happen in our lives tomorrow. We certainly do not know where we will be 10 years from now. But one thing is certain. There will be a day of judgment. The Bible states unequivocally that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. From what you've read, from pictures you've seen and cartoons you've watched, And from jokes and stories you've heard, you probably have a very negative impression of the final day of judgment. It is perhaps something you would just as soon avoid. And this is understandable. Indeed, Jesus did speak plainly about those who would burn with unquenchable fire and those who would be sent away into everlasting punishment. But all too often, by too many preachers and too many false prophets, the whole story has not been told. In Luke chapter 21, we read the words of Jesus when he said, "When you see these things, which will precede the final day of judgment, then," Jesus said, "lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Jesus meant that judgment day should be something to look forward to, and to even long for, but not something to fear. For that very reason, the early Christian church confessed with joy and boldness, "We believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come." Those early Christians rejoiced that they had been redeemed by God through the blood of Jesus Christ from the punishment of their sin and the death they deserved. Even in the midst of terrible persecution, as they persevered in the hope of everlasting life, they long for the final day, their second redemption, their complete salvation. That is why St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "We groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body." For those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who consider the Savior just another religious leader or prophet, the day of judgment will certainly not be a positive experience. It will be a moment of terror and regret. On that day, it may be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for anyone who remains uncommitted and indifferent to the Savior's call. Indeed, one can look forward to the final day of judgment. And the Savior is speaking to you today when he encourages you to lift up your head, to raise up your spirits, and as a result, to experience a new and positive attitude in life. No matter how difficult each day may seem, a certain future, a glorious hope is possible because your redemption, complete salvation, will soon be a reality for all who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Sing with the hymn writer, "The golden evening brightens in the west, and lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day." Don't let the worries and uncertainties of tomorrow paralyze your ability to face them. No, don't let the difficulties in your daily life, in your family life, make you miserable. The Lord knows your situation. He understands completely. He promises that he will work out all things for those who love him. Lift up your head. Look up. Don't worry and fret each day about your retirement, your welfare checks, and your social security. In all of life's struggles, we must keep our feet on the ground. We must always be realistic. Because of the inequities of this world, you and I may have to suffer for a while. But the Lord promises that he will not permit more to come upon us than we can bear. In all the trials of old age, look up, lift up your head. Your salvation is soon. To look forward to the final day of judgment as a source of hope and strength is not a pie-in-the-sky, by-and-by illusion. It is a faith reality which has been drawn upon by Christians for centuries. Jesus is encouraging you to look forward to his return as a source of hope and strength. The apostles, in their confession of faith amidst persecution, joyfully stated with conviction, "We believe that Jesus shall come again to judge the living and the dead." 300 years after Jesus victoriously rose from the dead and gloriously ascended into heaven, his loyal followers at the Council of Nicaea affirmed their faith in the triumphant return of their Savior. Even today, as we continue to confess that statement of faith, we say that we believe that Jesus suffered and was buried, that he rose again according to the Scriptures, and that he ascended into heaven, that he now sits at the right hand of the Father, and that he shall come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. Along with the 4th century Christians, we today proclaim without hesitation that we look with joyful anticipation for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. I could continue to quote from other creeds, confessions, and statements of faith, including the Athanasian Creed, the 39 Articles, and the Book of Common Prayer. Through the centuries, whenever the Christian Church has expressed the certainty of its hope, it has always referred in a positive way to the hope of the final day. Especially in the midst of persecution, trial, and hardship, the Bible-based knowledge of the final day was never a negative one. Rather, it has provided the incentive and the spiritual power for them and for us today to lift up our heads and to look up. Some skeptical scholars have tried to argue that a belief in the return of Jesus Christ is only a fantasy created by early disciples to sustain themselves after the Redeemer was no longer visibly present. Such cheap and malicious talk has absolutely no basis in the clear teachings of the Bible. Already many centuries before Jesus was born, Job confessed, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon this earth. And though," Job said, "after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Yes, faithful Job, the main character of so many dramas and stories which depict the suffering of man, found strength to lift up his head and to look up with the knowledge that someday he would realize the joy of his complete redemption. Certainly, he would have agreed with St. Paul, who said, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." This week, Christian churches around the world began observing the season of Advent. Advent means the arrival or the coming. The season of Advent immediately precedes Christmas, so as to remind us of the Savior's first coming when he was born in a manger in Bethlehem, with the angels announcing his birth to the shepherds. As we celebrate the Redeemer's first coming, humble and lying in a manger, we also receive encouragement of his imminent second coming in glory, in a cloud, with all the angels beside him. But to speak of the Savior's return without mentioning his several warnings would be less than honest. Jesus warned that there will be those in every generation who will pose as messiahs in order to mislead people. He lovingly cautioned, "See to it that you are not misled, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand." But Jesus warned, "Do not follow them." Regularly, newspapers carry stories of people who claim to have seen Jesus. Several months ago, the news services carried a story of individuals who claimed to have seen Jesus in a burning chicken coop. Other religious hucksters, seeking to make money from the anxiety of the public, frequently purchase full-page ads in popular magazines. These false prophets claim special and even regular visitations by Jesus and Mary, the Savior's mother. One advertisement went so far as to say, "Many miraculous photos have been taken on the apparition grounds." Incredible as it may seem, the offer was then made that a presentation of slides of these miraculous photos will be shown. Religious frauds claim to have privately seen and even spoken to Jesus, in spite of the clear teachings of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1, which states that when Jesus returns, every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. The return of Jesus Christ will not be a private showing for a privileged few. It will be a glorious public spectacle. In 1 Thessalonians we read, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." This glorious event will certainly not be private, and there will be no need to take 35 millimeter slide photos for a later viewing. every eye, including those who now reject him, including anyone who presently remains indifferent, and even those who pierced him on the cross will see him. Our present society is accustomed to expect things immediately. We are encouraged on every side to get everything possible out of life. As a result, our ego and our greed sometimes overtakes us and rules our lives. Because of this self-centered attitude, it is no wonder that for some, the return of Jesus Christ is totally irrelevant, and in some cases, even ridiculous. How easy it is for us to be preoccupied with planning a comfortable retirement, deciding what to do when our children leave home, buying real estate, shopping for the best six-month savings certificate, looking for a promotion, and being accepted by fellow students. When these concerns become the most important things in our lives, we are then unable to take the Savior's loving admonishment seriously. Jesus warned not to get priorities mixed up. He does not want to find us unprepared and even asleep, as he did the disciples in the garden on the night he was betrayed. Be on guard, Jesus said. See to it that your minds are never clouded by dissipation or drunkenness or the worries of this life, or else that day, the final day, may catch you like the springing of a trap, for it will come upon every inhabitant of the whole earth. Followers of Jesus Christ and all who trust in the salvation promises of the divine Savior welcome the day of judgment. They look forward to the time when they will be welcomed by the Savior into paradise. Even though you may never have thought of this before, God also wants you to share in that great hope. If your problem at this moment seems more than you can bear, even if life seems hopeless and useless, lift up your head, Jesus said. Your redemption, your salvation, your liberation, your joy, a place of perfect happiness and bliss beyond your greatest dreams, is waiting for you. In that place, there will be no more worries, no more bills to pay, no more arguments, no more guilt of past mistakes. In the Bible, Revelation chapter 7, we read, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun beat down upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd, and he shall guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes." Fear the final day of judgment no longer. It is the will of God that no one perish, including you. It is His will that no one need experience the severity of His righteous judgment, but that all come to repentance. God is a God of love and grace and mercy. Believe and trust in the sin-cleansing power of His Son, Jesus. Then you can live with the assurance that the Master will say to you on the last day, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in the salvation power of His sin-cleansing blood. Straighten up. Lift up your heads. Your redemption is near. Amen."